This week, Mikey heads high above his comfort zone and takes in Toronto from the top. The McBryans hit the Hamilton Air Show.
Does it suit me?
Gotta grab the stick.
And Joe joins the Snowbirds for the ride of his life.
So you have control.
Mikey McBryan is a long way from Hay River. He and his father have come to Southern Ontario for the Hamilton Air Show. But first, Mikey's got some important business in downtown Toronto.
We arrived a little bit early for the air show, so there's one thing I always wanted to do is conquer my fear of heights. Honestly, test my wits, do something that's completely out of my comfort zone.
The CN Tower is one of the tallest freestanding structures in the world. And Mikey's come here on a personal mission.
They got this new thing called the Edgewalk. Now, I'm nervous going in glass elevators, let alone to the top of the world. So we'll see how it goes. But honestly, you know, I might faint, puke, or cry.
It might be hard to believe the son of a legendary aviator is afraid of heights. But Mikey's come to the right place to face it head on.
So you walk down to the base of the CN Tower, and there's a place called Base Camp.
Oh, my paper time.
This is a bunch of stuff I'm not going to read. And you get in specialized jumpsuits, you know, different shoes. You put on a harness that blows away any harness I've ever seen in my life.
You ever been up the CN Tower before?
No, I haven't.
You're starting on the outside, right? All right, you got a seat right now.
And there's just safety check after safety check.
All right, okay. Mikey, just stand on that for me there. Awesome. Feeling nervous?
You know, all this is fine and dandy because I'm in a room, you know, in a few more minutes I'm going to be outside looking down at Toronto. Have you had anybody, like, pass out in here? Do you get nervous?
To this point, we've had 16 people back out with us. And that's in total. We've got 30,000 people walk with us, so 16. You're not going to be 17, are you?
You're number 17.
No, it's not a good number.
Lucky 17. Oh, it's
one. Mikey's just an elevator ride away from staring down his biggest fear.
So what do you think, Joe?
I'm not thinking, I'm just looking at everything.
Just an hour's drive to the west, Joe's on a personal mission of his own, gearing up for a flight back in time.
And I remember watching them as a kid up north. They did air photo with these. They were flying these right off Yellowknife Bay, right off the ice, I guess.
He's at the Canadian Warplane Heritage Museum in Hamilton to see a very rare piece of aviation history.
So what we have here is, this was a Canadian-built Lancaster. It was built in Malton, Ontario. It's in 1943. This airplane crashed in Trenton Air Force Base in 1952, broke its wing spar on a landing when the gear gave out. So they went out west trying to find a donor Lancaster, and they actually found one sitting out there that was being used as a chicken coop.
Any more chicken coops being found?
No.
This Avro Lancaster is one of very few survivors from World War II.
These four-engine cruisers are Lancasters, Britain's new heavyweights. They're warming up, getting ready to rock the Axis with blockbuster wallops.
As the main heavy bomber used by British and Canadian forces, Lancasters dropped over 600,000 tons of bombs.
I have very little interest in wars or guns, but that was a piece of art I wanted to see. Yeah.
This old Rosie Riveter, yeah. I'm sure she wasn't. She was just cutting my hand here, eh?
It's amazing what these ladies did.
See this rivet line?
Yeah.
But even this work of art had one very vulnerable spot, right in the back.
This was obviously Tail End Charlie. This was the short end of the straw trip. I think from what I was told, the life expectancy of a rear tail gunner was about 3 missions. It was cold, it was lonely, they were generally alone a lot of the time. A lot of these tail gunners, because this isn't a permanent part of the fuselage, a lot of these got blown off and subsequently they fell to their death in this and couldn't get out in time.
The tail gunner had the loneliest and toughest job of the crew, alerting pilots to approaching fighters while squished into a 4-gun turret with a 180-degree view. In 1944, radar was added to improve the gunner's accuracy at night.
But you can still find parts for the fuselage?
Fuselage isn't so much of a problem. One of our biggest problems is going to be tires. You know, because they're not producing tires for this. This isn't a regularly flown aircraft. It's not like there's a whole fleet.
So I just wanted to see what it looked like and how they built it at that time. They built 13,000 of them, and now there's only 2 left flying. So it is well worth seeing.
To look at the plane on the outside, you think it had tons of room in here, but they didn't care about creature comforts. They were more worried about bombs.
This is mid-upper gunner here?
Mid-upper gunner.
Yeah, sitting in here, I'm trying to recollect what my uncles must have thought. One flying it. And
oh, God, yeah.
One navigating it. You know, a 21-year-old kid for 25 missions.
Yeah.
For Joe, nothing beats keeping a warbird in the air.
You feel the history. You can, and you know, you fly in this airplane, you can feel every angel on your wings.
Yeah, it's something you could get used to, all right.
Well, thank you very much. That was a great job.
When the air show starts tomorrow, Joe will get a real feel for the history because Mikey's arranged for him to hitch a ride.
It's going up pretty quick. I can feel my ears.
Back in Toronto, Mikey's hurtling 116 stories up the CN Tower.
Yeah. I mean, all of a sudden, just like Star Trek, the door opens, and there you are.
All right, Mikey, come on out. Read the troops out. Everyone follow Mikey up the door.
Have fun, guys. Mikey's come up high above the skyline to take on his biggest fear.
Holy smokes.
So welcome to the Edge Walk, everybody. This way, guys. This is going to be my stuff.
Yeah, right on. All right, cool.
There's nothing but you in this strap.
If you want to take a look up, that's the sky pod up there. 31 building stories higher than we are. How are you feeling?
Oh, this is great.
Awesome. So if you want to take a peek over the edge, you're going to be looking down 356 meters.
Vertigo sets in immediately, and he's like, what the hell is going on?
That's just crazy.
I still feel the adrenaline rush of seeing miniature people walking around.
Like, some people are pretty nervous. It's not unnatural for me to be.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely a normal reaction to be kind of freaked out up here. All right, guys, just take a step back to that inside edge just so everyone can see what I'm doing. So while we're here, we're going to rip the Band-Aid off. The first activity I have for you, it's called Toes Over Toronto. You're going to walk up to the edge, and you're going to get your toes over Toronto just like that. If that makes you happy, try letting go of the rope and give them a wave down there. Looks good. Sherry, you're going first. You got this, Sherry. You got it. One more little step. You can do it.
Mikey came here to beat his fear.
Yeah, awesome. All right, Andrew. One more little step. Awesome. Hands up that rope. Well done. All right, Mikey. You're up.
But right now, fear is winning.
Like, my brain was like, okay, do it. And then my feet were like, no way.
Yeah. This is definitely crazy. Oh, my God.
All right, Mikey, you're up.
116 stories above downtown Toronto, Mikey McBrien is facing a towering fear.
Yeah. This is definitely crazy.
You know, just putting the toes over the edges. Just intense, and my body is shutting down. It was like you're doing something you're not supposed to do.
Toes over Toronto, eh?
You look down, you're like, oh, fuck.
Nice, my God.
That's crazy.
Freakier than flying really old planes.
Oh, yeah.
All right, take a step back. That was just your warm-up activity, okay? So now you guys are going to do what I'm doing. We're going to get your butts over Toronto. To do this, I need everybody to turn your bodies so you're facing the tower.
Don't worry, Sherry's going to be our guinea pig again. All the way down. This is the hardest part, is having a seat.
The next one was the extreme one. It's, you know, hang your butt over Toronto.
Look at that. Nicely done, Sherry.
Awesome. All right, Mikey, you ready? Have a seat.
Right on down.
So lean back so your feet can come out in front of you. All right, you good? Walk on back. You got it.
Hunker down and you slow back and, you know, put your feet on the ledge and you stand up, let go, and you're letting go of everything.
There you go. So push your butt back, straighten out your knees, and lock the legs as straight as they can be. You got it. There you go. How are you feeling?
Just good. Crazy.
Take a look up at the tower. Oh, yeah. Oh. Those people are far away.
Hey, buddies.
Oh, God. So now you can grab your ropes, bend your knees, and walk yourselves in. Well done, guys. Give yourselves one of these. Rock it.
But after a walk around the tower, even Mikey's sounding a little more bold.
Oh, that was great. That was awesome. You know what? You take applications to work up here?
Totally. I'm sure.
Looking back, I wish I was more brave, but at the time, just like, no time for bravery with... when your ass is on the line.
On the way down.
Mikey struck a blow against his fear today, but he's soon going to tackle a much bigger challenge.
That was great. That was so awesome. That's amazing.
And he's going to have to go a lot higher than this to do it. The next morning, at the Hamilton International Airport, the air show is taking off.
Oh, this is my favorite part.
And Mikey's ready to take it all in.
Going to air shows really brings like the kid out in me. I really like it. Oh. Jeez. They're not hauling cargo. They're not hauling passengers. They're just messing around. And I really, really enjoy that. The Beach 18 is by no means designed to do aerobatics. It is designed to deliver fish.
And that's a problem for Joe. He wants planes to work, not play.
Air shows have a purpose, but I don't have a purpose to go to an air show.
You know, it took a while to convince my father to ultimately accept the fact that he's going. I told him he was going, but he was hesitant the entire time.
But this is a special weekend.
I didn't realize this was the theme of the show, was the Father's Day air show.
And Mikey set up a double-barreled Father's Day gift.
Look at that thing. I think it's honestly probably one of the most awesome airplanes of all time.
The Lancaster Joe visited at the museum is flying today. And Joe will be riding along.
Well, Joe, it's a pleasure to have you on board.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to travel with you.
You know the Lancaster and the Avro 683, but did you ever fly one of these?
No, that was before my time.
We're ready to climb aboard.
It's a little tighter. They had the skinnier kids up front here, I guess. Oh, Jumbo, he got sit in the middle there.
He's ready for a ride back into the history books.
Does it suit me?
What do you think?
It's definitely a plane you want to be on to see what the boys felt like over there.
Well, you know, it's a four-engine tail dragger. You don't see those that often. And it's just a cool, cool airplane.
It's very similar to what we have in our DC-4s, 3s, 46s. The technology is the same.
But there's one major difference.
Start clock.
We're used to radial engines, which is basically just a bunch of cylinders in a row, making a circle. A Merlin's a V12, straight V engine with 12 cylinders.
Ready on three, please. Start three.
The Lancaster's four supercharged Rolls-Royce Merlin engines can generate up to 2,000 horsepower each without all the roaring and banging so familiar at Buffalo.
The real engine's got more of a what the hell kind of Harley Davidson sound. Merlin is more like a sophisticated race car.
That's a f***ing magic machine.
Ready up, dude.
Well, they're Merlin engines. They're inline Merlin engines, piston engines. And they call it just the music of the Merlin.
Uh-oh.
But today, there's something out of tune.
Okay, just a sec.
Number two was getting the problems. It was having some sort of electrical snags.
Can we bring sparkler wrenches? I might have to start pulling some plugs out. So at low RPM, the misfire was worse, right?
Yes.
Okay.
The standard check shows spark plugs aren't getting enough power from one of the engine's magnetos.
And all we know is that during our run-up, the mag drops were a little excessive, more than what we anticipated. These are old machines, right? A little bit of moisture, they get cranky sometimes. And what time do they want the engines running by?
We need to get this fixed right now. We've got an air show stage time at 1:40.
The clock is ticking. They got a slot. If they don't make that slot, the whole thing's canceled.
Yeah, that's opened up. So, all right, so we're running to the other side and checking on the other side. Fortunately, there's no lab scopes, no diagnostic equipment like they have for airplanes today where you plug it in a magic box and it helps you figure it out. This is all trial and error, you know.
Yes. So they've got everything off right now.
They were under the gun, and there was a lot of people and a lot of fans, you know, dependent on seeing that airplane in the air.
We're running out of time. Like, we're going to be lucky if we can pull this off the way it's going.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Murphy's Law might have just killed Joe's once-in-a-lifetime chance to ride in a plane right out of the history books.
Which one?
Nothing yet.
I heard that the Lanka might have a problem and it might not go, so I was just checking out to make sure everything is good. My father's scheduled to go up on it, so I want to make sure this happens.
In Hamilton, Ontario, Buffalo Joe's Father's Day flight has been grounded by a mechanical mystery.
What I'm hoping to find is there's points that are come loose and they're just not opening and closing, but it was both sides, which is weird.
Well, I've never been behind a Merlin engine. That Merlin engine is a sweet-sounding engine.
But right now, it's silent.
We're just going to start yanking plugs and getting them cleaned up.
Flight engineer Craig Brookhouse is starting to get an idea why the number two engine isn't purring.
Whatever exhaust plugs are screwed, we'll pull them if that intake's out. So we'll just line them up here.
British tools or British airplanes?
It looks like moisture in the cylinders could be preventing the spark plugs from firing.
These ignition systems are so rudimentary and so old, it doesn't take much to foul the spark plug. It just, you know, with the weather, you know, once one goes, it can start affecting the other plugs.
If we do find any plugs that are foul, we'll have to clean them, put them back in the engine, and then we'll do a run-up after that.
When we get tools. We're just kind of waiting on them right now. Holy shit, what's taking these guys?
With less than half an hour until their slot, the spark plug wrench finally arrives.
You just want to throw a brand new set in then? Okay.
Now they've got to run the engine again and hope the Merlin performs its magic.
Number four and number two, please. I'm going to listen out this. Keep it 2,000 RPM, really.
Ready?
Let's do it.
Okay.
They'll monitor engine RPMs in the cockpit, but Craig is conducting a much simpler and even more important test.
What we're looking for is just an imbalance in noise. You hear them popping out of each stack. You have to be able to distinguish each cylinder firing, believe it or not. Out of all that noise, you kind of get a custom airport to hear what's coming out of the stacks.
And Craig gives the thumbs up. Now the crew has just a few minutes to get the plane moving.
They changed some spark plugs, and I guess it was quite the worrisome time, but I guess they got it all sorted out. Right now, It looks like they're all good. The old man's going to jump in. He's mobile for ride. Can't wait to see her in the air.
Inside the plane, Joe's getting ready for his date with history.
Standing by there for start check.
You can get excited.
It's a one-time thing, so you're going to go do it anyway.
If he's not excited yet, the other planes flying along in the formation might help.
Mosquito, two Spitfires, two Hurricanes. Oh, my God, like, what a freaking lineup.
Okay, so we got all four engines running. Yes, first flight of the day.
It's an all-star lineup of World War II Merlin-powered aircraft.
Ground control, it's Merlin 1. Taxi clearance, please, for Merlin 1 plus 6.
And Joe's got a front row seat on this beast. One of only two flying Lancasters on the planet.
That's awesome!
The famed Merlin engines are about to make their music.
You know, a radial engine sounds like thunder. Merlin V-12 sounds like a drag car.
It sounds pretty good. It would bring back a lot of memories to a lot of the veterans anyway.
And Merlin formation ready for takeoff.
Merlin, clear takeoff runway, clear takeoff.
Ready to roll over to Lancaster, ladies and gentlemen. Let's watch and listen.
Merlin, Merlin, like to confirm you guys won't be about 2,000 feet.
All the worries and the weather and the maintenance delay all goes away.
Joe gets a whole new perspective on a plane that helped change the course of history.
The Lancaster touches a lot of people. Everybody had a member of family that had something to do with Lancaster, either as a navigator or a pilot or radio operator or bomb aimer.
Everybody with us here?
The smaller warbirds move into formation around the Lancaster. And the legendary bomber takes center stage.
You know, it was very cool to watch the show knowing that my father was up there enjoying it. And I was enjoying it on the ground, but honestly, he had a better seat than I did.
It's one in a million.
That's awesome. You know, that's why we're here. He's up there in the lake with a bunch of other boys. Yeah, you can't beat that for Father's Day. Amazing. Hopefully you liked it. I don't think Rod and Kathy could top this one for a Father's Day gift. You like it?
Oh, yeah, I like the airplane.
So you can't have it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much for that.
In the air with 10 Merlins at the same time.
Yeah, it's probably the most Merlins you ever get in the air at once, eh?
Yeah.
In the world, is it?
Other than World War II.
I said, well, are you happy you came, at least?
It's still not easy to make Joe smile. But Mikey's got another, much faster surprise for tomorrow. And this time, Joe will actually be taking the controls.
Joseph.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, this is Glenn Joseph.
Yeah, I'm Joe McBride.
Yeah.
today could be the most exciting flight in Buffalo Joe's 50-plus years as an aviator.
Last year, when I was suiting up for the F-18, I asked my father if he had a choice. He said, well, without doubt, I'd go with Snowbirds.
The Snowbirds are the Canadian Forces' elite aerobatic team, with roots stretching back to the RCAF's 431 Iroquois Squadron in World War II. Today, the modern squadron wows crowds across North America. And Mikey's arranged a seat for Joe.
Oh, yeah, here we are. I think how I ended up here today is, years ago I was telling Mikey, whenever I see the Snowbirds, I stop and think, maybe I should have gone to school. Although you had to have grade 12 to join the Air Force.
He might have had dreams back in the day to be military, and this is kind of a throwback to maybe another flight line he could have had.
This is going to happen in basically three stages. Each one of you needs to see a flight surgeon.
But before he can take off, Joe has one big hurdle to clear.
Flight freaking beams, you're not suitable for flight, that's the end of your road.
Joe has to be fit enough to handle 5 G's in the cockpit.
Oh, yeah.
Find a chair. Your date of birth?
March 17th, 44.
You know, he's 69 years old. I mean, there's a chance he may not pass medical.
So no heart attack, stroke, claudication?
Never.
No history of collapsed lung?
No.
Muscle weakness, seizures?
No.
And even Joe's worried he might not make the cut.
What does that say?
136.90.
136.90. Should be 120 over 80, shouldn't it? What is this, oxygen?
A deep breath.
Well, there, should I got? I hit 96. So I guess there, you want to make sure you can breathe again in an airplane, eh?
People do better when they breathe.
Yeah, I don't have any trouble breathing. Yeah. Did he pass me? Am I average?
You know what, he's no spring chicken, but he's a tough old bird, and luckily he's in pretty good shape, so. He was good to go?
My name on here, like, McBrien. That's me. I thought they'd give me a stage name, like Buzz or Flash.
Hey. It's like a hot dam.
Huh? Is this a walk in the park for you, or is this...
No, this is... Yeah, this is something new for me altogether.
Now Joe's heading to meet his pilot, Captain Trevor Shaggy Shawaga.
Thank you.
Mess Corporal Marty Meyer.
Hi, Marty.
He's my technician, so he's going to help you strap in.
Oh, okay, sure. Yeah, I can do all that, yeah.
I'm flying with your dad.
All right,
he's going to teach me a few things today.
Oh, jeez.
Any last wishes that you want to...
he's my ride home, so... and my meal tickets. I got to take care of them.
That'd be nice. Have you been up with two?
No, nothing, no. Just...
You did the F-18 last
year. Yeah, that was great.
How was that?
Oh, amazing. It's good. Amazing. I tell everybody, it's just like... in a roller coaster, getting hit in the face of the bat. Just like, this is crazy.
So the bet's on there. See, you didn't come back with a bag full, so...
Two.
We'll see how he does it.
So now the question is, which McBrien can hold on to more of his lunch doing loops at 600 kilometers an hour?
Oh! Here we go. Holy Christ!
Oh, I got pedals and everything. Holy shit! Look at this.
Okay, so now you're ready for your helmet.
I need a picture here, Dad. Hey, smile!
Well, I've never been in a parachute before. I've never been in an ejection seat before. I've never been in a jet sitting up front like this.
All right, Dad, enjoy.
Yeah, this is good.
My father can be very excitable for the wrong reasons. It was nice to see him excited for the right reasons. I know he's always wanted to go for riding snowbirds. You know, he's in good hands. Just pretend you're 18 and go out there and have fun. You know, he's never had a chance. It's great that he has the opportunity now to do it. Hopefully, they give him a good ride.
Okay.
These Tudor jets will be flying just a few feet apart, and there will be no room for error.
He's a great genius, eh?
Yeah, the guys on the left side of the formation fly in the right seat, and the guys on the right side fly in the left seat. Yeah, it's that way you're not flying looking through the cockpit. I don't know if you can see, there's a G-meter right there that I'm pointing.
Oh, yeah.
So it'll give you an idea of what we're going to be doing.
Now, wouldn't you hear the regular show?
Plus five, minus two. But if you want, we can do more.
No, I'm quite happy just looking around here.
You're good. Okay, we're going to do a triple VEG takeoff, and then we'll join up in the big diamond. All set?
Sure am.
I roll now.
Go fly. So there, 3.2 G you did.
The jets are moving into position, just 10 feet apart.
And if you want to put your visor down, you can too. A little easier to see that way.
No, I've never been that fast and that close.
That's a tight formation.
The pilots have to visually line up their wings with specific parts on the neighboring planes, constantly correcting to ensure they're in exact position.
So this is where I have to be steady. We're going to go to calling door, and everyone will drop off and be flying the door. Go off my wing. You'll see the inners will come back.
Right now, Shaggy and Joe are moving into the middle, or stem, of the Condor formation.
So this is where the stability of the stem comes in. Because if I react to four, then everybody falls apart. Rolling up.
I guess as good as mine is how he's feeling right now, but probably nervous as hell.
How you doing, Joe?
Oh, great.
Awesome.
Yeah,
awesome.
Yeah, this is beautiful.
But that's just the beginning.
And this is at about 10-foot spacing, but we'll actually close it in to 4 feet.
Just 4 feet separates Joe's plane from the next one in the formation. This kind of flying demands utter precision and nerves of steel.
So I'll tuck it in at 4 feet. And I just ignore it. I look at the boss.
Wow.
See, if I flew off him, I'd be reacting to him, so I don't.
You know, they're a well-trained crew, and hopefully they've taken care of the old man.
Joe is far too impressed to be the least bit nervous.
Wow, I just...
It's a ballet, eh?
Absolutely beautiful.
It's fascinating to watch the ballerina dance that they do. It's very well orchestrated.
Up until now, Joe's been a very happy passenger.
Yeah, really great.
But he's about to take on a much more active role.
All right, Joe, you gotta grab the stick there, baby. Follow me through. What we're gonna do, it's called trail, and it's all about angles. So you have control.
Okay.
It's time for Buffalo Joe to take control and become a snowbird.
All right, Joe. You're going to grab the stick there, baby. Follow me through. I'm going to do the flare. It's called trail, and it's all about angles. So you have control.
Okay.
In the air over Hamilton, Ontario, Buffalo Joe has just been drafted. He's dreamed of being a snowbird for 40 years, and today, he's getting his shot.
We got to stay behind four, and all you do is you cut inside or outside as you need it, so just keep four visual there. He's right ahead of us. That's where we want to stay. That's awesome, right there. Can we take it?
Yeah.
Okay. Out of control.
Yeah.
No problem.
That's a Father's Day present if I've ever seen one.
But as the team makes their last few maneuvers, Joe's stomach is starting to make a few moves of its own.
Gotta give her a go at landing?
No, go ahead.
You sure?
I'll just watch you.
All right.
Five drop one. Five secure.
Even though it got a little hairy, Joe held out. So he's leaving with the perfect souvenir. A completely unused air sickness bag.
There you go, Mikey.
Do I come out with the shoot?
It's empty.
It's empty.
It's empty.
And undisputed family bragging rights.
Oh, my stomach's good. I mean, it's hardened from years and years of flying, so.
God, it felt so light.
But Dad, how was it?
Great, 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 great. I could stay up there for the rest of the day. Oh, yeah.
Right on.
There you go. Yeah, that was great. Yeah.
Oh, have fun there.
Thank you, son. What's it look like when you go by?
Nervous. I couldn't even watch her. Too close.
Ain't going to fake no orgasm up there. That's the real stuff.
Joe started this weekend wondering why he was even at an air show, but he's been converted.
Hey, Joe.
Oh. You go to a city 3,000 miles away, and you got to ride in a snowbird and ride to Lancaster all on the same air show, and it's all set up for you before you get there. It was very amazing.
I couldn't ask for a more perfect weekend. He got to fly in the Lancaster. He got to fly in the snowbirds. We got to watch all the shows. I'm thinking he probably had the best Father's Day ever.
Yeah, I certainly appreciate the effort he put into making it all happen.
And this perfect father-son weekend has got Mikey thinking about another flight he wants Joe to make. By the time they get back home, Mikey's got a plan.
I was hugely inspired by the events of the Hamilton Air Show, and it's really maybe put a little fire under my butt to get in the cockpit.
He's been built up to wanting to fly. He want to go try him out to see what this is all about.
Somebody ain't sucking. I pushed too hard for me.
So Joe is pulling out the Beechcraft Baron for Mikey's very first flying lesson.
We have tons of small airplanes here at Buffalo. The key is to have some with dual controls.
But the Baron is a lot of plane for a novice pilot.
The Baron is a Ferrari of small airplanes. She's fast. She cruises at over 200 knots, which is way faster than the DC-3.
Joe wants to see what his son can do.
Definitely not graceful.
And Mikey's never been a comfortable flyer in the first place.
You know, how the frying pan and the fire, it's quite the airplane.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Yep.
Okay, you can hear me?
I can hear you.
10-4.
You know, sticking a rookie into that is maybe a little over my head.
Ground is 104, get section.
Well, takeoff, I was nervous. I didn't want to go full throttle, and we were supposed to go full throttle.
Okay, check that.
Okay, so what we're going to do is see how you taxi there.
Mikey's not even off the ground, and he's already off course.
You're supposed to follow this yellow line hooked on the crack of your hat. Everything is neutral. Now you guys put your heels in first. Don't hit a brake at the wrong time. Take your throttles and open them.
Okay.
Open your throttles.
Oh.
Keep opening them. It'll come straight. Keep your wheel neutral. Neutral, neutral, neutral.
Now, control of the plane is all in Mikey's hands.
Ball to the wall. There she is. See that airspeed? Yeah, there she is. Now just ease back.
Oh, man.
Mikey McBrien is in the hot seat, his very first flying lesson with Joe.
See, now we just balance it. I'll take care of the power and I'm the co-pilot.
Yeah. So that's pretty quick, like we're 190 off right now, eh?
Yeah, we're moving. Now we're not even set up yet, we got the power way back, eh?
I've flown with my father 1,000 times. And this is the first time my father's flown with me.
You're doing good.
Hey, that smile for the camera.
There we are, flying along here. Mikey flying, I'm running the GPS.
He just told me what altitude and what heading, and we went out and checked some lakes, did some steep turns, some S-turns, and you're flying, you look over, and you're like, oh yeah, this is, I'm in his zone right now. This is where he feels the most comfortable.
How old were you when you first started flying?
About 13.
13?
Well, I used to fly with Chuck McAvoy, 180 at 13.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that was the biggest thrill of my life, 13 years old. Summer holidays in Hay River, and I wait all day at the dock for him. I've got a skipper to take me. He'd throw me in on top of the groceries on 180, and then on the way home, he'd get out of the seat, have a cigarette, sit the floor, and then they fly.
Mikey's enjoying bonding with Joe so much, his nerves are gone. But that's about to change.
That's our 104. We'd like to set up for runway 64 landing.
Okay, check that. We're right now.
Wind
for runway 34, check 185 on roll.
Okay, now what we're going to do, I'm going to slow down early. I just hold that there.
Oh!
The wheels go down and it changes.
Yeah? And it's really different with the gear down.
Yeah.
You're going 200 knots, which is nice, but that 200 knots gets 10 times more crazier as you get closer to the ground.
So we're right down the middle of the runway. Like that. Now level away. Push it ahead so that.
Jesus Christ. Jesus said that.
It's like
Bad Landis Skidoo,
isn't it? Oh, my God.
It was quite entertaining to watch him. It was artistic. Was watching an artist there trying to make a painting. But he should be painting by numbers, so.
That's intense. That's pretty intense.
What's that?
That's the whole landing thing.
And whether Mikey pursues his pilot's license or not, he got a lot more than just a flying lesson today.
Mikey, how is it?
Oh, that was pretty good. The landings are so intense. So to share that is probably something that I'll never forget because that's my father. He's a pilot, and he won't be around forever.
We have a certain amount of gifts allowed to us in life, and that's one of them. So I look at that as a gift.
Just getting to be with him in that scenario is, you know, is priceless.
I'll co-pilot the sked with Schroeder on Sunday. Save some money.